Today, my guest on this very special 100th episode of the Hometown to Hollywood podcast is the legendary Kristen Chenoweth. Kristen is one of those rare performers who truly excels in multiple mediums: musical theater, film, TV, voiceover, and concert performances, and she has the awards to prove it, with both an Emmy and a Tony, among others. Perhaps best known for originating the role of Galinda in Wicked, some of her other Broadway and off-Broadway runs have included You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, Promises, Promises, On the 20th Century, and Candide. She has starred in scores of TV shows and films, including Pushing Daisies, Glee, Descendants, Hairspray Live, BoJack Horseman, Trial and Error, GCB, and many more. For the Girls is her seventh album. Kristen currently is performing in her Broadway concert run, For the Girls, where she performs songs from her most recent album of the same name. She's the only other woman my daughter Dove Cameron calls Mama, and I am proud to call her my friend. Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Bonnie. That, you know, when you say that about Dove, it just warms my heart. Truly.
It's the truth. You know, it's the truth.
Yeah. I always say, you know, you got one mama, and then you got your stage mama over here. And, you know, Bonnie, she is the person that, she is the performer that I view. I hope this comes across not in an arrogant or narcissistic way, but she's the one that I view that is most like me, where I feel that I can, that I pass the baton and I'll just be there to watch it happen. I'm so proud of her.
What a beautiful thing. What True. A beautiful, beautiful thing. No, True. I think too that we, you know, we're born into the circumstances we're born into, the family we're born into, and then as we grow older, we get a chance to choose our family as well, and we can expand that. And
that's right.
I just feel very, very lucky that we are.
We're connected.
We are connected.
You and me. We are connected.
Yes, we are. So I want to think back to when you were a little girl, and I understand that you originally wanted to be a ballerina, but being vertically challenged, as we are,
all three of us, you, me, and your daughter.
All of us. We get what we get. You decided, all right, then if I can't do that, I'm going to try singing. So then you began to sing, which I think the world is all very grateful that you weren't tall enough to be a ballerina ultimately. It's done us all a lot of good that you decided to sing. That, you know, I love that whole thing, because there's a whole, like, you know, people want what they want, and sometimes they get disappointed because they can't have it, but there's this whole silver lining if you just keep your eyes open to it, and I love that. But then on top of that, you decided you were interested in acting, because singing and acting don't necessarily follow one another. When did you decide that you wanted to act?
Actually, it was through ballet, because I was a little bitty girl doing Nutcracker, and I always just thought, I was cast as, I wanted to be one of the mice, and I was too short for the costume.
To be a mouse?
So, yes, think about that for a second. Like, really? And the director said, you're going to create the role of the rabbit. And I thought, oh, great, what's the rabbit do? And it was a first lesson in acting. She said, the role of the rabbit sits there next to Clara, all in act two, as the rabbit. And I thought, she doesn't dance, she doesn't leap, she doesn't turn. What does she do, this rabbit? And I sat there next to Clara, and a prop fell, and one of the sugar plum fairies was dancing, and a big vine fell center stage. And right then, I knew that it had to be removed, because as you know, that can cause injury and harm when a big prop like that falls. And I thought, what would a bunny do? And I just hopped out there like a little bunny, put that vine in my mouth, hopped back, and the audience went insane. And I thought, oh, I want to be an actor. I want to be an actor. I was probably eight. Isn't that crazy? So sometimes, and I love that, you know, you have young listeners to this as well, because it's important for them to know that sometimes our plans aren't exactly God's plans, and we have to get to the real thing, what we're meant to do, in a different way. Yes. And mine happened through ballet.
I love that. I love so many things about that. My heart just feels so full hearing that. And I have to agree. I mean, my own path, it's like our paths, we have to pay attention and you have to kind of dance with, you know, what God or the universe throws your way. And you can't, it can't be all just like what you have in your head, because it has to dance with what shows up.
It does. And I also think too about, like, when I look at Dove's career, for example, not to go, look, I want to talk about her a lot in this podcast, because it's something that I'm very proud of watching her. And I think, I wonder if she ever thought that she would be doing, you know, a TV show where she played two different parts. I wonder if she thought she would go into an opera of Light in the Piazza. I wonder if she thought that she would be going and doing London. I wonder if she thought she would be doing her own concerts. You know, the limits that we put on ourselves are by us. We have to be open. My mom was just reading me the Agnes de Mille quote about being the vessel. And what I love about Dove and what I try to do myself is just be the vessel. There are no limits. There are no rules anymore. She can, and just like I did and want to, do television, movies. I'm counting on her to do Broadway. She did an opera. She'll make records. She'll do television. So no limits. The only limits we put on ourselves is by ourselves. So we have to keep that channel open.
I love that. And for the record, I had that quote printed out and hung up next to my bed for years, and she grew up reading it.
Oh, well, see, I have it too. My teacher, Ms. Birdwell, gave me that, and I have it hanging by my piano. And my mother read it to me yesterday, because I, you know, it's a thing that we have, and then you can't compare it.
Yeah.
It's just the vessel. You shouldn't compare it to others or anything else. It's just the vessel. And I have to keep reminding myself at this age, 51, to keep doing that.
Well, you're doing great.
Thank you.
Now, was there someone who inspired you when you were young and starting out, you know, that you were looking to as a role model?
I mean, so many, Bonnie, that I look back, my list is so vast and different. Dolly Parton was a big one. Carol Burnett, because she made everybody laugh, and the generosity of her stardom. When you think about the Carol Burnett show and how she was the band leader but invited everybody else to be on her show and kill it, it was a great lesson for me. That's what I want to do and try to do. Sandy Patty, the Christian singer, is a big one. Sally Field, who I've only met once, and I was mute. I couldn't speak. I was just like, hello. She was a big one. And Julie Andrews. So you can imagine who my ladies were. And Madeline Kahn. They're all very different. But to me, they all are, you know what they are? Originals. So it made me understand that being an original, not one that fits into the costume all the time, is all right.
Sometimes it's all right to be the rabbit.
That's a quote. That is a quote. Yes. I'll take it. I need that on a shirt. Can you have that put on a shirt for me?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Okay.
I'm on it. I think there'll be some bling on that.
Please, bling.
So you have formal training, real formal training. And this is something I love to talk about a little bit, because a lot of the people who listen to the podcast, they worry that no matter how old they are, even if they're still teenagers, that, oh, they're getting into it too late. And, you know, they just can't wait to get started on their career. And, you know, they do see people like Dove who was working as a teenager. But you went, you know, the proper classic route. You have a bachelor's degree in musical theater. You have a master's degree in opera performance. And then you went out. Like, yeah. How important would you say training has been for your career?
Well, everybody's different. You know, everybody has their different path and journey. But my parents, when I was growing up in Oklahoma and singing in church and doing ballet and taking piano, they said, you know, do you want to go to LA, New York? What do you want to do? And when they really presented me with what I wanted, I knew somewhere, you know, that gut thing that we listen to, and I know you have it, and I know Dove has it. It's the gut. Yeah. My gut said to me, you're going to have a lot of years of working. So what you need to do right now is be the kid and do the drama plays and do the be a cheerleader, go to church, do all the normal things, because I knew my life was going to be full later. That was the right thing for me. When I auditioned for Oklahoma City University, I met my mentor, my teacher, Miss Birdwell. And I would say for the first 3 years, she would not let me belt. I came in and I was like, get ready, I'm going to sing it. And the very first thing she said to me at a master class, I was 18. She said, oh, I can't wait to teach you how to sing. Now, you know, that horrified me, right? There might have been some tears. And I thought, girl, I'm a big star in my town. Like, I can sing. But what she meant was, in the heart, becoming wise about the lyric, becoming understanding different languages. And for me, the right path was college. I also, if I may, I was always an old soul, a lot like Dove, but I definitely needed that time to grow up a little bit. And so college, university for me was that time to not only train, but to grow up a little bit and prepare myself. She had told me, you're so sensitive. And I was so sensitive, you know, and she said, I'm gonna have to toughen you up if you want to be in this business.
Hi. With the entertainment industry changing every day, I'm continuing to work to be a source of inspiration and information in your life. As it's been for 5 seasons and over 120 episodes, the Hometown to Hollywood podcast will be there for you. Now, I'm asking you to be there for us. The podcast has been a labor of love for years, and now I'm asking if Hometown to Hollywood's been a friend to you, if it's helped, educated, and inspired you, please become a supporter of the podcast. For only $5 a month, the price of a latte, you can become a friend of the podcast and help me afford to continue to do the work that you've come to depend on for honest, insightful interviews that shed light on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. If you can afford it, pitch in $10 a month and become a good friend of the podcast. Your support helps supplement the people who can only give $5 a month. Join now. Just go to hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. That's hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. And in just 2 clicks, you can have access to the complete version of this incredibly informative conversation, as well as each upcoming episode and the entire collection of over 120 past episodes. If you can't afford $5 a month to subscribe, the first 10 minutes of every episode will still be available for free. Subscribers get the full episodes delivered right to their inbox. Thank you. I appreciate your support, and I can't wait to share the exciting upcoming conversations with you. Meanwhile, if you could use some one-on-one coaching, invest in a video consultation session with me. Just go to hometowntohollywood.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.